Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our roundtable discussion this morning at the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. It is Sunday, December 18th, 2016. Our subject is The Universe, Including Man, Evolved by Atomic Force. Our golden text in Amos, He that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Beautiful. So, before we get into the lesson, the science and health, I just wanted to go over the schedule. Next weekend is Christmas weekend, and so we will not be having a Bible study, and that night we will be having our Christmas Eve service starting with the organ music at 8 p.m. We hope you all can join us, but we will also therefore not be having a watch. And Sunday, Christmas Day, we will not have a round table, but we will have our Sunday service. Okay, and then the following weekend, which is New Year's weekend, we will not have a Bible study on Saturday, but we will, of course, have our watch, even though it's Christmas Eve, and we will have our roundtable on New Year's Eve. We will have our watch New Year's Eve, and we will have a roundtable on New Year's Day. So, okay, so just make note of it, and I'm sure Jeremy will be announcing things on the internet as well. Okay, we will get into science and health, unless anyone has anything they want to say or any questions. Okay, Linda, read number one.
There is no power apart from God. Omnipotence has all power, and to acknowledge and to acknowledge any other power is to dishonor God.
That is quite severe, isn't it? So, in what ways do we dishonor God?
By not being obedient.
Absolutely.
By thinking we can do something.
Yes. Saying I am sick or tired or can't do something. That's right.
By doubting that God is capable of doing things that he most certainly can do and has done.
Yes. I mean, think of it during your day, all the ways that you may dishonor God by acknowledging another power. Anytime you give credence to sickness, sin, or death, you are dishonoring your Father, Mother, God. So, mind your tongue. Mind your thought. You know, that beautiful golden text says that it's God that gives you your thoughts. He is your consciousness. That's a powerful statement. He's done all things. So, if he is your consciousness and he gives you your thoughts, then all these negative, fearful thinking has power over you.
I like that very much, Mary Beth.
Good. Who is this?
This is Lucy. Good morning. That God is your consciousness. That's wonderful, because right away, if you're judging others or measuring others, you can right away feel and know that that's not the consciousness of God. So that will, like a radar, will alert you right away that you're dishonoring God. So I love that God is your consciousness. It alerts you, I'm judging, I'm feeling ill towards someone, I'm measuring. That's ugly. So that right away will just makes you silent and correct your thought immediately, or not to engage with someone else in gossip or negative conversation.
Well said. Thank you, Lucy. These are indications you're not in the right mind. You've slipped into this Adam dream, so you get back. God is your consciousness, and truly, He is the only consciousness. So, Lucy had had some questions about malpractice this week. It's very important you all understand malpractice. So I will mention that for a few minutes. What is malpractice? Yes.
It's really wrong thinking.
Yes, that's all it is wrong thinking.
And because it's wrong, it is the sum total of all evil.
The Bible says it's the carnal mind. Lust, I mean, just some of what Lucy was mentioning. Gossiping, criticizing, fearful thinking, all of that, it is sick thinking, all of that is called malpractice. It's just wrong thinking. Now, there's two types of malpractice, and what are those?
Either malicious or ignorant.
Right. What is ignorant?
When you're thinking wrongly but not intended to do any harm to anybody.
Thank you. Like unawareness.
Yes. Anybody else?
You don't know any better.
Yes, you don't know any better. Ignorant. Yes, thank you. The human, the Adam dream, the human situation is permeated with ignorant malpractice. Isn't it? You see it all over. You turn on the news, your co-worker. It's not malicious. They probably don't mean anything, but, oh, you don't look so well today, or, oh, it's, you know, been cold, or you're probably going to get a cold, or yada, yada, yada. That's all ignorant malpractice.
I'm going to get my flu shot. How come you're not getting yours?
Yeah. Not malicious, but it's out there all the time. So what do we do about that?
Correct it in our own thinking.
Thank you. Anytime you hear it, anytime you feel exposed to it, or even if you're not, you need to be alert and working and knowing it's not the truth. There's one sentence in Science and Health that deals with this. What is it?
Belong to yourself.
Thank you.
Mental malpractice will not harm you in sleep or, oh, we're sure scientists be a law to yourself that mental malpractice cannot harm you.
Right. No, when asleep or when awake. You all should know that sentence, and you should all use it often during the day. Many people don't. You need to. It keeps you a law unto yourself, not under the material laws of all the stuff, the ignorant material laws. You're under God's laws. You stay under God's laws, and that malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. You have to work with it. And if you see something, and at the news or any place, a coworker, you correct it immediately in your thought, and if you have to, verbally. It's not hard to do. It's much harder not to do. Why?
Then it accumulates, and then you find yourself taken underneath it all, and then it's hard to come out.
Yep. You go under it, and then you got to crawl out. It's opposition. And I thank all of you for joining us today. The amount of attendance has gotten a little bit lighter as we approach the Christmas season. So I call you my faithful ones.
I wanted to add the audio that she read from Martha Wilcox on mental malpractice is very powerful. I've been listening to that. And it has some even more, say people want it more, ideas on what to do. And she breaks it down, and to listen to it is just...
Thank you. Yes, that's Carol, who's doing the Martha Wilcox malpractice. She's written two articles, Malpractice and No Malpractice, in our book, Association Addresses, and you can study that further. But so now we have the ignorant malpractice, so now what about the malicious malpractice? What is it? And you can start unmuting yourselves. That is the intended wrong thinking towards someone or something.
Yes. You've heard of voodoo. Well, that's a good example of it. Okay,
Witchcraft.
So voodoo. Pardon me?
Witchcraft, any wrong thinking intended to harm someone.
Right, where the intention is to harm. Retaliation, revenge, envy. How about envy?
Yeah.
I want what you have.
Trying to undermine people.
Yes.
Think about it, this whole intent to want to inflict harm on someone else is such a perversity. It's just absolutely abnormal. But yet, it's done so much.
So what do we do about that? Someone is hating you or wishing you harm.
Most potent defense is love.
Absolutely.
The other thing about it is this idea of not being stupid. You know, you got to put your feelers out there. There's a little spiritual sense, so to think. It needs to be detected. And it also requires the wisdom to not let it accomplish its purpose. Connection with God is all important. Use our refuge and defense.
When we were in our law case being sued by the BOD up in Boston, their intent was to harm. And it took us a little while to, you know, to figure it all out. But Reg Carey would come and visit just at the right times. And he would implore us. He would say, listen, they don't know any better. So love the hell out of them. And he would remind us often to just love the hell out of them. And it would break the mesmerism, and it would put us on the right footing, and of course enabled us to prevail. And that's what led the way to the lawsuit being decided in the right way, God's way.
But they did know better.
Yes, they did.
They did know better.
Yes, thank you. They did know better. You're absolutely right.
Although
there might have been some who well, they might have righteously thought they were the right ones. Mrs. Evans used to say that is the worst form of malpractice, when someone thinks they're right, and then they come at you in a self-righteous way. And maybe that's different than malicious, but this comes with the territory. Most you're under it all the time. Most people don't know it. Or if they do know it, they think of it as forms as witchcraft, or they're into the tarot cards thing. So get used to it. And you need to be a working scientist in handling it. It's extremely important. You're under it. We were under it, obviously so, during the law case. So we learned we were under it 24/7. Why do you think we do what we do with such passion and urgency? Why do you think we watch the way we do? Because we know what's going on. And if you don't know, do know. Wake yourself up and know. Is it anything to fear?
No.
No.
But I had to get beyond and still working on.
Thank you.
I'm not going to be afraid of it. And being here has enabled me to understand.
So what? Why don't you have to be afraid?
What power does it have? All power belongs to God.
Yes, that is your safety and your defense. That's why the first sentence in this lesson, he's the only power. If you acknowledge that they have a power over you, you are dishonoring God. They have no power over you, unless what?
You give it.
You give it. And how do you do that?
By fearing.
Being afraid of it. Being afraid of it. Thinking that there is such a thing in God's creation, that God made a malpractitioner, did he?
No.
No.
Thinking that you or anyone else is actually separate from God?
No.
Is there anything separate from what God has made?
No.
How could there be if God and his creation is infinite?
So many scientists are so superstitious. I heard it. I've heard it even in this church. Oh, so-and-so. I mean, not recently, but a while ago. So-and-so is this or so-and-so is that. And they gave it a power and they felt like they came under it. And you're just in a bad dream. It's not the truth. God never said it. What is? I think it's Martha Wilcox says, the only way malpractice can reach you is how?
Your own thoughts.
If you were a malpractitioner yourself, if you were hating, if you were seeing something less than God's creation, if you were fearful, if you were negative, then it does seem to reach you. That's why you have to build up your own citadel. Don't hate. Don't indulge in those passions. Otherwise, in belief, it does seem to reach you, and you might seem to suffer from it. But after I don't know how many years of having to deal with it in this church, this is why we're warriors for Christ.
And another thing that's helpful is to know that it goes back upon itself.
Thank you.
And it's impersonal. It's only the evil.
Thank you.
It's not a person.
It's never a person. It's an error. And that's, if you feel malpractice, all you have to say is go back upon yourself and destroy yourself. You don't have to know where it comes from or who you think it is, because it is neither person, place, or thing. It is erroneous, wrong thought, and you keep it that way. That's how you deal with it.
This is why Bignell Young, in one of his addresses, I'm not sure exactly which one, he's talking about how if a Christian Scientist is not feeling good or has discordant situations, often the only thing to handle is malpractice.
Thank you. It is Eustace says it over and over, and he calls it malicious malpractice, intended. And Mrs. Eddy says that, you know, in that 4th of July address. She says that people are working day and night. Why are you so asleep to the whole situation? This is one of the main things in the bogus science that you're not taught. I want everyone to be clear on this. Otherwise, you are defenseless. You will either make too much of it or too little of it. Neither is right. You have to handle it. There's a middle ground there. You make too much of it, you're fearing it, you're seeing boogeymen everywhere. If you make too little of it, oh, there's no such thing as animal magnetism. It doesn't exist. Everything's fine. God is love. In the meantime, you're being shot full of holes. But once you get into that steady rhythm of just the daily handling it in your daily work, you'll find it as nothing. And you keep your own thought clear with love. Principled, but great love.
And that's the discipline to keep yourself from being a malpractitioner. To be motivated by love. See, when you feel something else coming in, motivating you, get rid of it.
Yeah, that goes back to what Lucy said originally. Your consciousness isn't God. So when a red flag should go off. If you start to feel jealous or hateful or envious, the red flags go off. You think, nuh-uh, that's not my thought. I'm not buying it. Get out. And it will.
This is a real basic question, but you please describe loving the hell out of it?
I love that expression.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's this instruction that I'm sure we've all heard. When you see someone doing something wrong, you separate the person from the error, you love the person, and you destroy the error. And when you destroy the error, that is the greatest love you can show to anyone who is being handled by it. So loving the hell out of them means to destroy the error that is handling them. And never personalize it.
Yeah. That's the difference between divine love, which Gary just described, of course, human love that just wants to be nice and not rock the boat. Human love is actually hate in disguise.
And if someone does something, say someone does something really nasty to you, instead of retaliating and doing something even more nasty back, you clear your thought and you love them as a child of God. You love more. That's loving the hell out of them. If you retaliate, you here we go, set the battle in array.
Is that what Jesus meant by love your enemies?
Yes. And those two articles, I go to them anytime I feel any kind of wrong thought bothering me or any kind of resentful or hateful thought. Love Your Enemies by Mrs. Eddy and Taking Offense. Those two articles will heal any sense of that if you get into it and obey what she is saying. And didn't she have it? Didn't Jesus have it? Two of the greatest people that ever walked this globe were the target of hate. If they hated back, they would have been destroyed. And theirs was malicious, but they loved more. And Eustace is another. Just read the Eustace book. He'll explain it. He knew he couldn't hate the BOD. We knew we couldn't hate the BOD. We could have. It was very tempting. But if we did, it would have destroyed us. Your greatest lessons come from this sort of...
You're under pressure.
Yeah, when you're under pressure to believe in a power apart from God and to believe in malpractice. That's when you grow. That's when you truly have to say, as Peter did in this lesson, save Lord or I perish. You'll think.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say, because one thing that I've discovered is that, like, if I think with a lowercase m versus a uppercase m, even that makes a difference in the effect. So thank you so much for clarifying that.
Welcome. Lucy, are you clear on this? No, I am too. Lucy? Okay, well, I will trust that you are. When you go over it, and this is why we do go over things, because I know, as you said with Jeremy last week, sometimes you don't get it for a long time, and then suddenly you get it. But the more you live it, the more you will get it. And the more you live it, the more challenges you will have.
Mary Beth?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. I did hear that. I just
Good.
Wanted to say, let's just say that someone does have malicious intent. Isn't it really basically the bottom line, their unhandled tears, issues that they have? Because wouldn't they suffer more? And we would suffer as well if we react or respond to that. Now, you wouldn't want to socialize and mingle and hang out with someone, you know, like that for, I mean, that wouldn't be wise, but isn't that the bottom line, that they're being handled by their issues that's unhandled? I mean,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And there's nothing more to it than that. When people do malicious things, they're acting out of fear. They're afraid. They don't know the science. And that's what Rich Carey would tell us about the board of directors in Boston. They don't know the science. They don't know. They think they're doing the right thing by attacking something that they just don't understand.
But then it's true, too. They're the thinker of the wrong, so they do suffer.
They do.
Can't see how they can't.
And they can.
And you will. But it is up to us to... Yeah, dismantle it and know it's not person, place, or thing, and it has no power. but they will be living a bad dream. I know sometimes if I would get upset about things, Gary would tell me, well, that's their problem. It's not your problem. Don't make it your problem. Because you see someone doing something or you might get upset over it, then it does become your problem. Don't get into their bad dream. Stay out of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very important point, because when you are confronted by something that is not right, you can't control anything except what?
Your own thinking.
Exactly. Exactly. So, clear it in your own consciousness, and that's all you have control over, and let God take care of the rest. Don't try to fix other people.
and it will happen. If someone is being a malpractitioner and he doesn't give it up and believe, Mrs. Eddy says that, I've read it a few weeks ago, they will suffer until they realize it's no part of them and give it up. And maybe it won't happen at first. Maybe it'll seem like, oh, they're doing really great and you're the one suffering or you're the one in whatever. But don't worry. It'll happen. Hang in there.
Like the green bay leaves in the Bible.
Yes, the green bay.
Flourish.
Yes, it flourished. I was thinking of that too. Thank you. Yes. Just keep your peace and don't get into it. And it'll all come right. And you will be blessed for keeping your own thought pure. You will have grown. You will have been tested in the severest way. But you will come through if you hold on to the truth. As you saw with Jesus and his resurrection. Certainly with Mrs. Eddy. They couldn't get to her because she refused to hate. Houston.
Oh. That's that mental poise that is so critical. I mean, just think about the example that we have of Jesus with all he went through. He never lost his poise.
Never did. Never did.
No, he was subject to all the things that were entirely unfair and cruel and everything else was thrown at him. He held on to it.
And I would love to get to that point myself, because I often lose my poise when I'm confronted with crap. But it's, and so don't feel bad if you lose your poise. But what it is, it's the burning out. You know, when you're in the middle of something like this, and you lose your poise, and you feel terribly uncomfortable, and you feel like all kinds of crap is going on within you or around you, that's the burning process. It's burning out the dross. So don't be afraid of it. It'll be uncomfortable at times, sure.
And if, as in taking offense says, if the offense be to God, and you have to rebuke an error, and you feel this welling up coming in you, that is okay, all right? Sometimes you have to rebuke error, so don't confuse that too. It's not just always being meek and mild and waving the God is love wand. You've got to stand up and rise against an error. As I said, first, mentally, and if you have to do it audibly, God will give you the words to do it, and it'll just come. But the offense is to God, not because you're personally offended that someone, you know, said that your hair was too curly, but as people always tell me. Now, anyway, not because of some personal offense, but because of some offense to God. This is not right by God. Then you stand up and rebuke the error, and you have every right to. And you see, Mrs. Eddy did, which is why people questioned her and thought she had a bad temper. And Jesus did to the Pharisees. He threw the money changers out of the temple. That's a good thing. But it first has to come within you, where your own thought is clear enough to be clear about that, and you're not doing it out of hatred or anger. Then it's no longer a good thing. You've given it power.
I think if we keep up, I'll speak for myself, as I continue to just, you know, following the discipline in here of keeping my thought clear, when something came up that was an offense to God or to what I'm learning, it was almost like an impulse. The right words came that I know I didn't think of. It
Thank
just
you.
Came and it was spoken and it just did the work.
Thank you. That's exactly how it works and how it feels. It just comes out. You're not really angry, but you see the error. You cannot allow that error to go on. It's not about person. It just comes out. It rebukes it. And then it's like a wash clean. You don't hold that error. You don't go around thinking about it or personalizing it or anything else. It's gone. You've rebuked it. But that is also how it must be in your own thought when the error comes. When it tries to come into your Christ consciousness, you rebuke it quickly, the first instance of it, and then you let it go. Not the truth about man. And the more you do it in your own consciousness, then you can help others and you see it the way you should. As an impersonal attack on the Christ, which you simply cannot allow. So, okay, I'd like, Florence, could you read number 2 in Science and Health?
Okay. God creates and governs the universe, including the universe.
We're getting a very bad reception.
Okay, maybe. Is that better?
Yeah, now it's better.
Okay. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them.
Thank you. So how what can you do with that one?
I used it to apply to my children this week. That they're obedient to the mind that makes them, and he evolves them, and that was very helpful.
Excellent.
Excellent.
That is what we were taught here. That's an excellent example how you use it. He evolves them. They're obedient to the mind that made them. They're not obedient to you, okay? Because there's the rub sometimes. If you're obeying God, they should be obedient, and that's in a good household. That's how it works. But you, if it's not happening that way, you transfer it. No, they're obedient to God. He evolves them. And whether it's your children, it can be your boss, it can be any, like we're talking about, malpractitioner that you think is going on. God made them. He's obedient to the mind that made him. Therefore, he cannot be a malpractitioner. No such thing. It's a powerful statement and a powerful truth to work with.
And that is a wonderful way. It's really the only way to have, to train children to be obedient, and that is, we as parents obey God in this house, and you as children obey God in this house, and that takes all the personality out of it and puts it exactly where it belongs.
And you always appeal to their higher nature. Mrs. Eddy says we have that, a high nature, the goodness inside them that's inherent in all of God's creation. Whether it seems to be at the moment or not, it is there. You talk to that, you address that, and know they will listen, that they want to be good. It's natural to be good. It's natural to want to obey God. It is unnatural not to. If in your head you think it's natural for them to be little brats, then you've got to clear that in your thought. It's not natural. And I don't care if they've been that way since day one or whoever it is we're talking about.
And that's what it means in Genesis 1:31, where it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So if you're seeing something that you think shouldn't be good, you're seeing something separate from what God created, and that's malpractice.
You know, I know before I understood all this, with my own children, if, you know, there was disobedience, I would get upset, and then I'd go after them. I knew I was supposed to discipline, and I'd be angry, and then they would be upset, and it was just a big mess. It would have been much better if in my own thought, I'd cleared my thought, I knew this was not natural or right behavior, and appealed to their highest sense that they were good, that God evolved them, and that this was an unnatural action, and it would dissipate. I had to learn the hard way, and in some instances, retrace my steps in tears. I did.
haven't we all?
Yes.
Okay, Gary, you read that.
Science and Health, citation 6. Physical science, so-called, is human knowledge. A lack, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organizations to support it, its foundations are gone. Having neither moral might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own, this belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning.
How fantastic is that? She just analyzes the wrong thinking and strips it to shreds. It's a masterpiece, Mrs. Eddy. When this human belief lacks organization to support it, its foundations are gone. What does that mean? What are examples? What are these organizations that support belief?
Materia Medica.
Thank you. Boy, does it ever.
Getting so organized now.
Oh.
That big, huge organization in Boston. Don't be impressed. Harvard University. Don't be impressed.
They're all organized supporting false beliefs.
The United Nations.
Yeah, really?
Don't be impressed.
Just about any big organization, it would seem to become corrupt. And supporting false beliefs, that's why once it's gone, you strip it of its power, and how do you do that? I mean, we can't go up to Harvard and take a hammer and try to, in your own thought, you are unimpressed. Whether it calls itself Materia Medica, academia.
Intellectual gobbledygook.
Powerful corporations.
Good one. Powerful corporations. Yes. They're supporting false beliefs of competitiveness, greed, other things. Now, they all have a right idea. The right idea. These are the human Adam dream false beliefs about it. False beliefs. But they all have the right idea. I mean, the right idea about Materia Medica is what?
Healing
through the Christ. Blessing others. Comforting, the comforter.
Form of caring,
mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why Mrs. Eddy said, give me a doctor,
yes,
who is honest and godly over somebody who is...
With smallpox.
Over a malpractitioner.
Over a malpractitioner. Yes. That's the right idea about academia.
How does our mind?
Yes.
Discover the intelligence that is of God.
Yes. The Bible and science and health. Let those be taught. What is the right idea of a corporate?
Big company.
Yeah, big company.
Providing good and useful goods and services that help.
Yes. For every right idea, there appears to be its counterfeit. And you have to be clear on that. That's why to just blanketly say that it's all terrible isn't good either. I mean, even for a big church, what's the right idea of that? Well, I mean, religion, it's out there to help.
To support
to
one another.
To know God.
Right, yeah, to get to know God better.
To support our spiritual growth.
Yes.
So it's always a false belief. And when that foundation falls, the false belief will fall. But the only way you can handle it is in your own thought. And that is a tremendous power. One with God is a majority. Or, and our unity watches. That's even, you know, that's their strength in the unity. Okay, having neither moral might. What is moral might?
Only the dominion from God.
Yes.
Biblical precept.
Thank you. Biblical precept.
It's having a divine purpose for good.
A moral might. It's moral, yes. I like that. Biblical precepts, the Beatitudes, the commandments, the morality of it. A spiritual basis. What's that?
Based on God's laws.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's no belief of the substance or intelligence of matter.
Thank you. Scientific statement of being.
Of being. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. Nor a holy principle of its own. What's a holy principle?
Cause?
Yes.
It's the stable rock of Christ that doesn't get washed away when a malpractice comes along. It's enduring.
Thank you. Because it is holy, holy.
It is the law upon which it is based. It is of God's law, then it has a holy principle supporting it. If it's a human theory, it has no holy principle to support it.
Thank you.
It's actually one of the most helpful things. If something is wrong, it doesn't have any principle or basis to continue or even exist. Going to get nothing. This will be exposed, be washed away.
Thank you. So those three things, this is how you can judge righteous judgment. Moral might, spiritual basis, holy principle. This belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. And then, in a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is why you have to have your spiritual sense. You were to judge on everything you just see materially. You see the Adam dream. You're going to come up with a big mishmash. A wonderful statement to dig deep and truly understand. She's stripping away false belief. Elizabeth, can you read number 7? The first two paragraphs.
You hear me? The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, the universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. Adhesion, cohesion and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to divine principle and support the equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther.
Thank you. And now, if you could just say again, you wrote on the forum, and I know you've given a testimony about it, but what happened through the power of prayer on that island in off South Carolina?
Yeah, so I'm just continue to think about it because it was so awesome that despite all the weather reports that this hurricane was making a beeline for Charleston, South Carolina, and this particular island, that what happened was despite, you know, they were saying that there was going to be this storm surge that would inundate much of the island and it was going to be so destructive, and it came ashore during low tide, and the surge that was rising up was, there was a wind coming from the different direction that just pushed it down the beach and not onto the island for the most part. So it, there was really very minimal flooding. And then on the other side where we have our rental house, we're right next to this river, and that came up to the back door. And when I got there, I saw all the debris that was there, and it never entered. And it was just wonderful.
Thank you. Bruce, what's the definition of wind?
That which indicates the might of omnipotence and the movements of God's spiritual government encompassing all things.
Thank you. Now, this is how we pray with this atomic force, knowing all of the forces, as Mrs. Eddy says in this lesson, they are not material, they are spiritual, all of them, and they are controlled by God, not by matter. And if you know it well enough, what Elizabeth just described can happen. You can say to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. There's a story now, I can't remember where I read it, it's probably in Longyear, but it was about this practitioner, and a fine practitioner during the time of Mrs. Eddy. And I believe it was the California earthquake. That was 1906, I think, which was very, very damaging. And she was a practitioner out there. And out of all the rubble, her house remained untouched. Now, of course, saying this, we certainly aren't rejoicing in the fact that everyone else's house is destroyed, but it is an indication that her thought was so strong and knew this truth so powerfully that her house was totally protected. So remember this, and remember, as we talked about yesterday, the need to do daily work, not just when you hear a storm is coming, but every day, to know that the weather you're receiving in your community, and also know it for the nation and the world, is God's blessing. Not too much, not too little, just right. As in heaven, so on earth, God omnipotent is supreme. And those words, I looked them up, cohesion, adhesion, attraction, the art of sticking or being united, union, steady attachment, cohesion, being united by a natural attraction, connection, dependence, attraction, power, principle, or tendency in bodies to unite. All of these things are established in divine law, but we need to be knowing it. I'm going to end now with some quotes from I Am That I Am by Bicknell Young in Collected Writings. The thing that takes care of what seems to be a problem is to find out that there isn't one, because all that mind has done is not in the nature of a problem, but is in the nature of scientific manifestation of divine intelligence, which, after its divine nature, is ever uttering itself, I am, and which finds in its own nature nothing that is unlike itself, and therefore knows no problem. Infinite mind is ever saying, I am. Every idea and function is constantly saying, I am. When I receive a telephone message or mail, I always know that malpractice or suggestion cannot reach me through the message or mail, that no message can come to the Son of God, but I am, and all is well. In that realm where thought is God declaring himself, saying I am in my infinite expression, in my infinite individuality, in my beauty and glory and grandeur of true being, I am, and that is man. This I am that I am is the name for all that is an infinite idea,
embodying all the characteristics and qualities of Father, Mother, God, the source, substance, presence, and law of all real beings. Man is well now sustained and maintained in his business, in his health, etc., by God who said, I am. Our God is so kind and true, so loving and just, and is so constantly knowing, I am, that I will know what to do and when to do it at the right time. I am mind expressing itself. Wonderful thing to work with and to understand. There's just infinite amount of good in our textbook, in our Bible, and the workings of the writings of the early workers. Thank God for it all. Thank you, and we will go on now to be praying for a powerful service to go out and bless all mankind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.